Hey, I'm Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. I thought there'd be a lot more Super Bowl related jokes. Now, the ones I found were mostly about the halftime show and feel a little racist, so I don't want to go there. Dick Butkus, though, chimed in. Dick Butkus, remember him? He said 50 Cent looked like he was hit by inflation. Pretty good, Dick Butkus. Jeff Ross, shout out to the Super Bowl for keeping Roman numerals alive. And our friends at All Pro Line said Eminem is performing at the Super Bowl halftime show because of the Rooney Rule. I'm going to start today on Gossip Corner. Now, let me slow down and get the lilt out of my voice and get a little more serious. Originally, I had this in the back end of the podcast because I think at the core here, and I'm not an expert, but it seems Kanye West is struggling with mental health, and I don't want to be light about mental health, and I hope Mr. West is doing well, but Pete Davidson is involved with this, and Michael Che got dragged into this, and the reason I moved it up is the Michael Che stuff is actually pretty funny, but we'll start with the serious part. Kanye West was on Instagram over the weekend, let loose on a bunch of people, including pitting himself against Pete Davidson as two opponents in a Marvel-style civil war. Sunday morning, he deleted nearly everything from his account, leaving only one image, a collage of his kids with Kim Kardashian with the caption, "God, please bring our family back together." So you can see this is serious, and I don't want to goof on it, but you'll see when we get to the Michael Che part. This is why I moved it up. On Saturday night, Kanye posted something looking like the Civil War poster from the Marvel movie. On one side, Kanye, Drake, and a bunch of other people. On the other side, Pete Davidson, Kim Kardashian, Taylor Swift, sure, why not, and a bunch of other people. As a caption, Kanye wrote, "The internet has still not found a decent picture of Skeet, S-K-E-T-E. Some theorize Skeet is Kanye's nickname for the couple of Kim and Pete, with a little vulgarity thrown in the mix." Also, over the weekend, Kim and Pete were seen in Brooklyn at Italian restaurant Lilia for a quiet date night. Page Six says Pete Davidson was seen opening the car door for Kim before the couple made their way to one of the eatery's private outdoor dining huts. Pete Davidson dressed casually, jeans and a flannel layered with a suede bomber jacket. Onlookers said Kim was seen enjoying a beverage in a wine glass. Don't want to theorize that it was wine or anything, but it was a beverage in a wine glass. The reports are Kim and Pete seem to be, quote, loved up and were spotted smiling as they gazed into each other's eyes. They also held hands as they left the restaurant later on in the evening. Okay, then. On Sunday, Kanye shared a screenshot of an alleged text from Pete Davidson. According to that text, Pete Davidson would have written, "As a man, I'd never get in the way of your children. That's a promise. How you guys go about raising your kids is your business and not mine. I do hope one day I can meet them and we can all be friends." And now the fun part. Kanye tweeted at Michael Che saying, "I'll double whatever they're paying you, just so you don't have to look at that pawn ever again. Big love." So Che responded. Now, he wrote his response on a line pad similar to Kanye West, which he shared in pictures of a carousel post. First one said, "Sorry, Ye, but I would never betray my friends." The next page said, "For anything less than triple salary." The next page, "That's right, $90,000 per year." Then Che added some requirements: full medical, full dental, 4 weeks vacay, corner office, plus a pair of red Octobers size 12, and you gotta make some beats for my band, the Slap Butts. Che then said they would have to dress identically, and you gotta tell me what you're gonna wear to work the night before so we can look like twins. You do that for me, and I'll Rambo that whole building. This next story about the Bob Saget autopsy, this came to my attention on Saturday afternoon. I don't want to go into speculation corner here, but my spidey sense is starting to tingle. Let me read it to you from the New York Times. Bob Saget, the comedian actor, died after what appeared to be a significant blow to the head, one that fractured his skull in several places and caused bleeding across both sides of his brain. The findings complicated the picture of Mr. Saget's death that has emerged in recent days. That version, far from a head bump that might have been shrugged off, the autopsy described an unmistakably serious set of injuries that would have, at the very least, have probably left someone confused. Dr. Joshua Stephanie is the chief medical examiner of Orange and Osceola counties in Florida. He said, "It is most probable that the decedent suffered an unwitnessed fall backwards and struck the posterior aspect of his head." The New York Times spoke to brain injury experts who said, "If Saget struck his head hard enough and just in the wrong place, it's possible that fractures would have extended to other parts of his skull." Dr. Jeffrey Bazarian said, it's like an egg cracking. You hit it in one spot and it can crack from the back to the front. But experts say that with such an extensive injury, it's unlikely that Saget would have intentionally ignored it. The injury would have left him confused, if not unconscious. Bazarian said, I doubt he was lucid, and doubt he thought, I'm going to sleep this off. Some neurosurgeons said it would be unusual for a typical fall to cause Saget's set of fractures to the back, to the right side, and to the front of his skull. Those doctors said the injuries appeared more reminiscent of one suffered by people who fall from a considerable height or get thrown from their seat in a car crash. The autopsy, though, found no injuries to the other parts of Saget's body, as would be expected from a lengthier fall. Dr. Gavin Britz is the chair of neurosurgery at Houston Methodist. He said, this is significant trauma. This is something I find with someone with a baseball bat to the head who has fallen from 20 or 30 feet. Britz noted that the autopsy described fractures to the particularly thick part of the skull, as well as to the bones in the roof of the eye socket. He added, if you fracture your orbit, referring to eye bones, you have significant pain. I don't know what to say. Just take that in. I thought Joe Rogan was out of the news cycle, and then I did a Joe Rogan Google, and I saw that Jon Stewart went to bat for Joe Rogan on Thursday's installment of The Problem with Jon Stewart. You know, the Apple TV show that you forgot existed? Stewart addressed the situation he began by acknowledging that he may be guilty of a bias since he knows Rogan and by default would grant more understanding and nuance to people that you know. Stewart said that he himself was very vocal in opposing the Iraq War in 2003. The New York Times, right, was a giant purveyor of misinformation and disinformation. I don't know if the Times was purposeful, but misinformation. And that's as vaunted a media organization as you can find, but there was no accountability for them. And I think where I get nervous is in the run-up to the Iraq War and the prosecution of the Iraq War, I was very vocal about that. But the mainstream view, the New York Times, was they have weapons of mass destruction. They have these tubes that can only be used for nuclear wars. I was on the side of what you'd think on the mainstream is misinformation. I was promoting what they would call misinformation. But it turned out to be right years later, and the establishment media was wrong. And not only were they wrong, in some respects, you can make the case that they enabled a war that killed hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people and never paid a price for it and never had accountability. And just having an ombudsman print a retraction to me isn't accountability. So it's very easy to attack Rogan. And I'm not saying that's not your right and that there aren't things to talk about. But what I'm saying is, let's be careful because the sands can shift. Couldn't I have gone down and fallen down for this if Viacom or Comedy Central had wanted to censor me and wanted to take me off? Look, I'm not owed a platform. Nobody is. But my point is, these are shifting sands, and I think I get concerned with, well, who gets to decide? Current Daily Show host Trevor Noah will be the featured entertainer for the White House Correspondents Association dinner on April 30th. That's good. We'll get that content back here for the Daily Comedy News. A suit said, Trevor is an incredible talent who keeps us laughing and thinking four nights a week. We can't wait for him to help bring our 100-year Washington tradition back to abnormal. Trevor's also going to host this year's Grammy Awards. The news came out right as the Super Bowl was ending that comedy director Ivan Reitman passed away. His resume, listen to this, Ghostbusters, Twins, Meatballs, Stripes, Kindergarten Cop, producing Animal House. Reitman died peacefully in his sleep Saturday night. I think I'm going to try and do an episode about Reitman's body of work for the weekend. I'll have to take some time to write it. I'm not sure I have that time this week, but right now I have it in the editorial calendar to do on this weekend. Also, I was reading in the obit, Ivan Reitman's daughter, Catherine, she plays Maureen Ponderosa on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I watch that show every night before I go to bed. I watch usually two episodes around 10:30 at night. Would have never guessed that Ivan Reitman's daughter was Maureen Ponderosa. Mindy Kaling tweeted, Ivan Reitman was old school in the best way and kind. I love working with him. Sad he's gone. It makes me feel older, like my childhood movies are more far away than ever. R.I.P. Kamal Nanjiani wrote, a legend. The number of great movies he made is absurd. Rest in peace. Mark Maron had Reitman on his podcast, and he reshared the episode. You'll find that in Maron's feed. Tonight at Union Hall, Vulture's putting on comedy shows again. Your hosts, Marsha Belsky, Jay Jordan, and Zach Zimmerman, pretty good. The performers, Mary Beth Marone, Alex English, Luke Monez, and Youngmi Mayer. That's at Union Hall in New York City. Kevin Hart announced like a big massive tour. I feel like I need Kevin to tap the brakes. He's like a little too much out there. My wife watching the Super Bowl, she was like, I don't get it. I'm like, he's really popular, but Kevin needs to like take a week off and just not be seen or heard from. Kevin has a 41-city North American tour. One of the places he'll be playing is the Just for Laughs Montreal Comedy Festival. He'll be at the Bell Center on July 29th. Pre-sale tickets tomorrow. Jump on it. Today's Daily Comedy News is brought to you by the podcast All Pro Lions. They combine football and jokes. So you want to check out the newest episode out today. Well, they'll be talking about there was this Super Bowl game. Did you see it? Did you know about it? The Rams are the world champions of gridiron. I have a note into the All Pro Lions guys. Hey, what happens now? Are you guys going to do USFL jokes? So I got to find out. But hey, there's a new episode in your feed. All Pro Lions. Aaron Hodges and Kostaki Economopoulos are your hosts. Check it out. Very funny show. I love listening to it every Tuesday. All Pro Lions, wherever you get your shows. Big thanks to Becky. She is supporting the t-shirt thing. I'm trying to sell these National Donuts Chain t-shirts. As you know, I go to the National Donuts Chain every morning. Here's the remnants of this morning's iced coffee right here. By the way, you can buy me an iced coffee at buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Also on that webpage, you'll find a link. You can buy a National Donuts Chain t-shirt. $20 plus shipping. I get $5 of that. Good way to support the show. Thank you, Becky. Becky bought us t-shirt. So go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews, or if you just want to get a shirt, tinyurl.com/donuts-chain. Thank you, Becky. Jen Kirkman with an interesting tweet. She tweeted, Gen Z on TikTok accusing me of stealing an Aziz joke. Parentheses, not even if my life depended on it. Even though the video they're watching is from before his joke, tell me more about how this generation is saving the world. Taylor Tomlinson will co-write and star in a new film that's based on her religious upbringing. She also announced a new special last week. I don't know what happened with Bender Gates. Remember, I told you Futurama was back and they were going to do a table read on Monday. At time of this recording, just before lunch on Monday, there was no news about Futurama or John DiMaggio. Did some Twitter searches, did some Googling, didn't see anything. So I'll let you know if they used replacement Bender and who it was. Remember I told you Chris Kattan, they thought he was off Big Brother? Well, here's what happened. Chris Kattan was stunned that he was still in the house. He asked everyone to vote him out. They didn't. They voted for Olympics figure skater Mariah Nagasu. Kattan walked back to his room and said to the others, I don't understand what I did wrong. If she really wants it so badly, then she should stay. He was scolded by NSYNC founding member Chris Kirkpatrick, who's 50, by the way, who said, everybody here wants it badly. Obviously, you don't. Reality star Shanna Mokler, she's 46, in case you're curious, said, I don't think Chris Kattan fully understands the game. I know his heart is breaking. He sees this sort of innocent young girl, but Mariah was no joke. She was a fierce competitor. She would have taken us all out down the road. Kattan said in a confessional that he didn't get the same note that everybody else did about the voting. Later in the show, Chris Kattan competed in the head of household competition, but went inside the house before the results were announced, saying he didn't feel well. And from New Zealand authorities have deployed Barry Manilow against protesters at Parliament. People were protesting against coronavirus restrictions. It was one of those truck convoys like the one in Canada. So Parliament broke out a sound system to blast out vaccine messages, decades-old Barry Manilow songs, and the 1990s hit Macarena on a repeat loop. That doesn't sound so bad. That doesn't scare me. The protesters responded by playing their own tunes, including Twisted Sister's We're Not Gonna Take It. That is your comedy news for today. By the way, last week, woo! Far and away, the most listened to week on this podcast, like by a lot. So thank you. If you are relatively new, I'm here 7 days a week. Follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Overcast, wherever you get your shows. We'll see you here tomorrow.